Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Thank you for joining us for this special episode of 13. We'll tell you why it's so special after we thank our new patrons: Taylor Velarde, Brandy Williams, Nikita Korgonker, Billy Carrico, Mike Masiadrelli, Trevor Hickey, Tulip's Mom, Jamie Denizio, Fatty 93, Amanda B, Alexandra Yoncionak, and Cam Peel. Thank you guys so much for your support. And welcome to the Pod Fam. If you're interested in things like ad-free episodes, extra stories, behind-the-scenes content, exclusive merch, or just like, I don't know, hanging out with us, then you should check us out on Patreon. Just click the link in the show notes to learn more. So, why is this a special episode? Well, this is the final installment in our Sexy Slasher Summer Series. And if you're just tuning in now, that means that this episode is going to get a little spicy. Ian has written a few stories in the classic slasher genre, and then I've helped turn up the heat a little with some sexy, spicy scenes. And they're unlike anything you've heard on 13 before. If you're not into sexual content beyond what you have heard here in the past, don't worry. On the main feed, we're keeping things PG-13. But if you find yourself wanting more, there are full-length spicy scenes available exclusively on Patreon. Today's story is a two-parter. Both parts, including the spicy scene, are up on Patreon now. Otherwise, the second part will be released here next week. And now, without further ado, this is part one of 3 Days at the Lake. Are you ready? Sit back, turn down the lights, and now, on with the show. I was one of those classical millennials. Graduated college in 2006 and got my first real job just in time for the financial collapse in 2008. Just like that, me and everyone I knew were suddenly unemployed. After a couple of years of my own personal financial crisis, I was somehow able to beat out all of my competitors and land a job where I could support myself and start digging out of debt. But there was a problem. I hated it. By the summer of 2014 and a long, passive job search, I found something that I loved. Somewhere where the work would be meaningful to me and where I could see myself growing and moving up. I put in my 2 weeks' notice at my current job and I had some PTO saved up. That meant that I would have the chance to take some much-needed time off before moving on to my new job. I told my boyfriend, Alex, about a place that my friends and I used to go to in college. There were these cheap cabin rentals on a lake out east. They were far enough apart to afford some privacy, but they weren't remote. It was about an hour away in the Appalachian foothills. I had a lot of good memories there, and I thought it would be a great place to relax and reset for a few days. But I was disappointed to find that they were all booked up. Of course they were. It was the last couple of weeks of summer. But Alex, definitely the more outdoorsy of the two of us, saw that there were campsites nearby, and most of them were still available. I'm more of a cabin with a bed and a shower kind of girl, but it didn't take a lot of convincing for me to agree to spend a few nights in a secluded tent with him. I'd never actually done real camping, with a tent and a fire. Why not give it a try? What if the weather gets bad, or it's too hot?
If it's too hot, we'll go for a swim. See, our site is right by the lake.
Okay, but what if it rains or storms?
Well, I guess we'll just have to find something to do inside the tent.
If I go a few days without a shower, you might have second thoughts.
Well, you're in luck. Look, there are campsites all up and down this side of the lake, and there's a communal shower right here.
He pointed to a spot on the map.
We can always clean up there.
A communal shower?
They're not big open rooms. Think of those little stalls behind beach houses so you can rinse the sand off before you go inside. They're kind of like that.
If you say so. I wasn't really putting up a fight. I wanted to go, and I wanted to have that time together. We reserved the campsite and packed up. In the heat of August, there were almost no other campers. We were the only campsite for a couple of miles. A couple days later, we were driving east toward Cave Run Lake. I knew we were getting close when we passed the sign saying that we'd entered the Daniel Boone National Forest. The road wound through the low places between the foothills. I'd forgotten how empty it was in the forest. After we passed the sign, there were no more driveways or little clumps of houses. It was just wilderness, which I guess is the point of a national forest. There were occasional signs on the side of the road assuring us that we were on the right path. Finally, we came to a crossroads with a sign pointing forward toward the cabins and a sign pointing left toward hiking trails and campsites. The cabins were across the lake, nestled against a ridgeline of foothills. The campsites were more heavily trafficked because the trails intermingled with where the day hikers like to go. We turned, and a couple more miles down the road, we got to a parking lot. It was almost completely empty. There was a little outpost, no larger than a guard shack, where we were supposed to check in. I expected there to be someone there. But instead, there was a monitor where we could enter our confirmation numbers and check in. I pressed the screen and entered the number from the confirmation email. A page popped up asking us to enter a phone number where we could be reached. Whose number should we use?
Oh, let's see. Who has a better signal?
We both checked our phones. He had nothing, and I had a single bar.
Looks like you win.
The next prompt asked us to enter our expected date and time of departure. Why does it need to know what time we're leaving?
It's so that if that time passes and we haven't checked out, they'll call and confirm that we left safe and sound. If they can't get to us on the phone, they'll come looking for us.
It was Wednesday. We planned to leave Sunday afternoon so he could get to work on Monday morning, and I could have a few more days of rest and relaxation back in the city. After we finished checking in, the last prompt pointed us to a landline phone where we could call with any questions and get a real live person. But we didn't have any questions. We were excited to get to our campsite and get set up for the night. I'd gone shopping for a couple of new swimsuits, and I was looking forward to showing them off. I knew I would feel better once the initial setup was done, and we could just take in the great outdoors. The hike to the campsite was a little more strenuous than I'd expected. Our packs weren't terribly heavy, but I wasn't used to walking while carrying a load, and the August heat was taking its toll. Thankfully, the entire walk was in the shade, dense forests and a heavy canopy of leaves. At last glance before leaving, there were still no other campers anywhere near us, and we didn't pass anyone else on the main trail.
It's the end of the day. Most of the traffic is day hikers in the morning.
When we got to the little side trail that led to our campsite, we turned and followed the winding mulch path until the lake came into view. We were about a 2-hour walk from the parking lot, and we hadn't seen another soul. We would have the entire place to ourselves. Cave Run is the biggest lake in Kentucky. At its widest, you can barely see the other side. But we weren't at one of those wide sections of the lake. Our campsite was in a low point between two tall foothills. The other side of the lake wasn't exactly close, but it wasn't that far either. Across the water, we could see one of the cabins that I'd originally hoped we could stay in. I felt a little pang of jealousy toward the people who'd been able to reserve them. But I was determined to make this a great trip, one way or the other. It took a couple of hours to get set up. The tent was simpler than I expected. We had an air mattress on the ground, and the top was an open mesh, so air could move through. There was a rain cover that went over it if we needed it. It was getting later in the day, and we went out and sat by the edge of the lake and had some dinner. Across the water, I could see a man, a woman, and two kids coming and going from the cabin. As we finished eating, I started to feel sticky from being out in the sun. Also, I had a pretty good idea what we would be up to in the tent later on, so I wanted to wash off some of the sweat from our hike. I told Alex I was going into the tent to change.
Change into what?
You'll see.
I dug through my bag until I found my new swimsuit. I took off my clothes and wriggled into it before unzipping the tent flap and walking out, giving a little spin.
What do you think?
Oh my God, you are stunning.
He stood up and approached me, kissing me and running his hands up and down my arms.
Well, what are you waiting for? Get changed before I go in without you.
We waded into the water. It felt amazing on my hot skin. When we were waist deep, the bottom of the lake took a sharp downward slide, and we could barely reach it anymore. We were half treading water and half standing on our tiptoes. There was a gentle current pulling us out toward the middle of the lake. Alex turned to face me, wrapping one of his arms around me and holding the small of my back. We stayed like that for a long time, touching and staring and gazing at each other, letting our bodies feel each other. After a little while, I arched my back and kicked off the lake's floor, coming to rest and floating on my back. The current was easy and soothing. It pulled me ever so slowly away from the shore. The water was calm, only the tiniest ripples breaking against my skin. I felt the last of that leftover anxiety leave me. I was here with the love of my life. My mind was quiet. I was really and truly free. As the sun set, we made dinner. The air was still hot and humid, even as the light was fading. My hair was still damp from our swim. I'd put on a pair of shorts and still wore my bikini top. This was probably going to be my go-to outfit for the week. My boyfriend was still shirtless. Watching him cook over an open fire was kinda hot. He'd carried a little telescope with us, strapped to his pack. It was easy to set up, just attaching it to a tripod, and the lenses popped in and out without any trouble. It was a new hobby for him, and he was excited to try it out with a really dark sky, away from the city. Like I'd said before, I wasn't much of a camper, but it was starting to grow on me. There was a change in the light. The cabin across the lake went dark. It was bedtime. The moon was nearly full overhead. We sat on the lake shore and looked out at the reflection of the tree line rippling across the water. He put his arm around me and pulled me close. We kissed. We moved around so that he was behind me. His arms were around my shoulders and stomach, and he kissed my neck. He asked if I wanted to go back to the tent. I did. After we finished, he fell asleep right away. But I had trouble sleeping that first night. We were on an air mattress, and I've never really been able to get comfortable on an air mattress. And the forest was louder than I'd expected. Insects and animals screeched through the night. But there was something else. Something that sounded like a disturbance in the trees. Not exactly like footsteps, but not unlike footsteps either. At first, I tried to tell myself that it was my imagination, that I was anxious or nervous, or that it was an animal and it would move on. But there was something else, a light. I started to panic, and I wanted to wake up Alex. But I was afraid I would make too much noise or draw attention. I couldn't tell how far away it was. It was never close enough for me to really place it. But I watched the light through the fabric of the tent, dim and diffused, as it moved past and disappeared. The darkness afterward was almost worse. I kept straining to hear whatever it was again, but I never did. Who could that have been, and what were they doing in our campsite? At some point, just before dawn, my exhaustion overtook my anxiety, and I fell asleep. When I woke up, I was alone in the tent. Alex was outside, and he was going through the packs. It was already hot, and I had to pee. I unzipped the tent and half-stepped, half-crawled out into the day.
Hey there, sleepyhead. How are you feeling?
I told him I was fine before making my way over to the tree line to relieve myself. We had protein bars for breakfast and brushed our teeth with bottled water. I told him what I'd seen the night before.
Why didn't you wake me up?
I don't know. I kind of froze.
You said you saw a light?
Yeah, I mean, who would have been out here at that time?
It could have been someone who got lost, or maybe a boat passing by on the lake. Someone doing some night fishing.
I don't know, but I didn't really sleep.
Are you still okay with staying here for the rest of the week?
I thought about it for a moment. Maybe he was right, and someone was lost, or I got my directions mixed up, and it was a boat on the water. After all, if someone had wanted to hurt us, they could have. And they didn't. No, you're right. It's probably nothing. There was a moment of quiet between us, and then he spoke up again.
I think our neighbors are moving out.
He pointed to the cabin across the water. The man, woman, and two kids we'd seen the day before were loading their things up into an SUV.
I guess we'll have the place to ourselves.
Seeing them leave, a part of me wanted to check the listings again, to see if the cabin was available. Maybe we wouldn't have to sleep on that air mattress, and we could have a proper bathroom. And we wouldn't have to walk a mile to the public showers. But I knew that camping was all part of it for him, so I didn't want to throw a wet blanket over it. I was just tired. I'd feel better when I got some energy. He asked if I was up for a hike. There's a lookout a couple of miles away. It rises up over the main part of the lake. I told him that sounded like fun. I just needed a minute to wake up. The hike took about an hour and a half. We took the little trail that led to our campsite back to the big, wide main trail through this side of the park. The trail was busier than yesterday. It was full of day hikers, just like Alex had said it would be. Lots of couples and families with kids. The last stretch of the hike was pretty brutal. A steep uphill march that rounded the hills we were climbing. I kept looking for the end, but as the trail curved, it was just more and more uphill. I was relieved to finally see the top. I was just barely able to keep up with Alex. I wasn't out of shape. I was just sleep deprived. A few years ago, this would have been easier. But as I approach 30, it gets harder to go without sleep. From the top, you could see the whole massive basin of the lake. The edges of the Appalachian foothills seemed to dive directly into the water in some places. Even though it was a good view, it was crowded, and it was hot, even though it was still early. On the way down, back in the shade, I was feeling better. But I was dragging, and I think he could tell. We passed a sign pointing toward the showers. It was good to at least know where they were. When we turned off the trail to the lookout, it got quiet again. Then, we made another turn toward our site. It was just us. We were all alone. When we got back to the tent, I told him I was going to take a nap. We had a little battery-operated fan, and I turned it on. I laid back and fell asleep almost instantly. When I woke up, I was covered in sweat and I felt groggy. I tossed and turned for a long time. When I finally got up, the tent flap was open. The light had changed. How long was I asleep? Outside the tent, I was able to stretch my legs and arms. Some clouds had moved in, and there was a breeze. It was a welcome relief from the hot sun earlier. Alex was sitting on the edge of the tree line.
Hey there, sleepyhead.
What time is it?
It's like 4 in the afternoon, I think.
Oh my God, I slept for 5 hours? Why didn't you wake me up?
I don't know, you seemed like you needed the rest.
What have you been doing this whole time?
Nothing, really. Relaxing too, I guess.
I felt a little bad for wasting the better part of a day. I knew he wouldn't leave me alone and vulnerable, asleep in the tent. So he must have been waiting this whole time.
Are you hungry?
I was. I saw movement across the lake, where the family had packed up and left their cabin early this morning. What's going on over there?
Oh, yeah. Looks like we got some new neighbors. They pulled up about an hour ago.
I looked over and saw 2 cars and several people unpacking them. They looked younger, college age maybe. Alex spoke up again as he dug around in the food bag.
Probably getting one more big weekend in before the semester starts.
They were calling back and forth to each other and laughing, loud enough that I could hear them over the wind. I could make out what looked like bottles and cases of beer. This was going to be a very different group of neighbors than our previous ones. I was reminded of when my friends and I came out here. They were some of my favorite memories from that time in my life. Good for them, I thought, as I turned my attention toward the prospect of some dinner. I was a sweaty mess, and I needed a shower. I could have gone in the lake, but it just didn't feel the same. The public shower wasn't all that far away. We walked up there so I could reset. I still wasn't thrilled about roughing it in a tent for these few days, but access to a shower was one of the things that made it bearable. The showers were just like Alex had said, little wooden stalls, like you might find at a beach house. But that's all I needed, as long as there was a little running water. When we got back to our campsite, we ate dinner and sat by the water. I was wearing a pair of shorts and my bikini top, and I was feeling better after my shower. The grass was nice under my legs and feet. The light was growing soft as the sun got lower in the sky. The hot air had given way to a cool breeze. We'd watched the new group staying in the house across the water. They all walked off somewhere about an hour earlier, and they were returning from their adventure just as the sky was turning pink and orange. We could hear them coming before we could see them.
I think it's going to be a loud night.
Even though they were loud, it was all pretty muffled from across the water. A few minutes later, there was splashing in the lake as they all jumped in for a swim. There were shrieks and squeals and loud, exaggerated laughter. I spoke up.
How many of them are there?
I can't tell.
That's when I had an idea. I jumped up and made my way to the telescope. I trained it on the water where they all were. The light was getting low, and it was hard to make out.
I think there are 3 girls and 4 guys.
Odd man out. Poor guy.
I rolled my eyes. It occurred to me that one of them could look over at any moment and spot me watching them, through a telescope, no less. I was startled at the thought, and I lifted my head from the eyepiece and stepped away.
What's wrong?
Nothing. I just don't want them to catch me watching them.
Yeah, probably a good idea.
A thought occurred to me. An impulse, really. And I was a little surprised at myself.
Do you think they can see over here?
Nah, I don't think they're paying any attention to us at all.
He wasn't getting it. I stepped in front of him, putting myself between him and the water. I hooked a finger under the strap of my bikini, and I let it slide down my arm.
No, but like, do you think they can see us?
He looked up at me from the grass, and I saw the realization dawning on him.
No, I don't think they can see us at all.
I don't know what was coming over me. I don't normally like the idea of doing this kind of thing somewhere that we could be caught in the act. But maybe the group across the lake was making me want to revisit my younger, wilder days. I didn't actually want to be seen, and I didn't really think we would be seen. But there was a little bit of a thrill in just knowing that they were there, oblivious to what we might be doing on the other side of the lake. I took a step forward, and I scanned the trees, just to be sure that we were alone. We were. If you like where this is going and you want to hear more, our patrons are getting the full erotic scene, unlike anything you've heard on 13 before. Patreon.com/13pod. After we finished, we got dressed and went back into the tent. The group across the water had gone inside too, and now we could hear music coming from the cabin. It sounded like they were going to be having a late night. Any other night, this would have annoyed me. But I wasn't going to have any trouble sleeping tonight.
I woke up and it was still dark. Had I heard something, or was that just in my head? I felt around for my phone. It was just after 3 a.m. I listened for a moment. There was nothing else. As I moved around, Alex stirred. I had to pee. I climbed out as quietly as I could, and I tiptoed to the edge of the trees. When I was headed back to the tent, I noticed a light inside. Alex was up, and he was also coming out.
Hey, everything all right?
Yeah, just had to pee. Did you hear anything just now?
No. Like what?
I don't know. A scream, maybe? Maybe it's just in my head.
No, I was sound asleep.
Sorry to wake you.
No, it's fine.
If it was real, it was pretty loud. Do you think it's that group across the lake?
Could be. Hang on, I'm gonna pee too, and then we can check it out with the telescope.
A couple of minutes later, we were looking through the eyepiece at the cabin across the lake. Through the lens, we could see empty beer cans and bottles on the porch. Some other odds and ends left lying around. The two cars they drove up in. Nothing suspicious. Nothing unusual.
All the lights are off.
It was probably just a dream. I told Alex I was going back to bed. He asked if I'd mind if he spent some time with the telescope, since it was such a clear night. I looked up. The sky above us was dark, but it was also bright with stars. I hadn't seen anything like this in a long time. The longer I looked, and the more my eyes adjusted, it was like new layers of them came into focus. I told him I didn't mind, and I climbed back into the tent. Just before I drifted off, I heard a car engine start up. And then, I was fast asleep. The next morning, we didn't have any plans. We ate breakfast and decided to try out a couple of other trails on this side of the national park. They were pretty, and one of them ran alongside a creek that eventually fed into the lake. We didn't get back to the campsite until a little after noon. Across the lake, the group at the cabin were outside, and they were yelling something. It sounded like they were calling out for someone. Maybe one of them had had too much to drink and wandered off the night before. A few minutes later, I saw a couple of them pulling a boat down to the edge of the lake. They pushed it out into the water and started paddling.
We should have gotten a boat.
We watched them for a minute from our camping chairs. They were coming straight out to the middle of the lake. And then, they kept coming. It looked like they were heading right for us. We watched as they got closer. We could make out that it was a guy and a girl. And as they got closer, I could make out their features. At a certain point, it became clear that there wasn't anywhere else they could be going.
Are they...
Yeah, I think so. We stood up as they were making their final approach. The girl jumped out into the water and gave us a wave as if to say, "Sorry to bother you." She took a couple of sloshing steps in the lake water until she was up on dry ground. Her friend stayed behind to hold on to the boat.
"Hi. Sorry to bother you. I'm Sid. Sydney."
We approached and introduced ourselves.
"I know this is weird, but did you see anything at our cabin last night?"
"No, I don't think so." My first thought was that maybe they'd been able to see us being intimate last night after all. But then, the other memory from last night came back to me. When we'd heard what might have been a scream.
"Two of our friends are gone. We can't find them. They wanted to go take a walk together last night, you know, I think for some privacy. And now we can't find them, and one of the cars is missing."
"Actually, Now that you mention it, I did wake up last night to something that might have been someone screaming. But I was like half awake, half asleep. It could have been anything.
I saw Sydney's face change.
A scream?
I was up messing around with the telescope, and I heard something too. But it also could have been a coyote. It can be hard to tell the difference. I actually do remember hearing a car start up, though.
Did you see them get in?
No, it was dark. There weren't any headlights or anything. God, I just didn't think anything of it. I wish I'd paid more attention. Have you tried calling them?
They're not answering.
Have you called the park rangers?
No. We'd seen you all over here, and I wanted to check first before we made it a big deal.
You should definitely call. Maybe it's nothing, but just in case, if it's not.
Hey, Sid, we should go back.
Can I give you my number? Would you call or text if you see or hear something?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, thanks.
We traded numbers, and she got back in the canoe. And we watched them make their way back across the water.
Do you think maybe they were just too drunk and got lost or got hurt? I mean, maybe that was the scream, and when they got back, they just took the car to the nearest hospital.
Yeah, but why wouldn't they answer their friends?
I hope they weren't too drunk to drive.
I remembered that first night, hearing the movement and seeing the light through the tent. What if it was something more sinister than that? Something worse than an accident? What if someone did something to them and they drove away with the evidence? That couldn't be it, right? That's just movie stuff. Over the course of the next hour, we heard the group across the water go quiet. They weren't calling out for their friends anymore. Sydney was pacing around the front, going in and out of the cabin, and then pacing some more. She was anxious. We didn't really do anything else the rest of the day. We were invested in the drama. The park rangers showed up across the lake around mid-afternoon. Alex got a closer look through the telescope again. He described what he saw. The rangers stayed for about 20 minutes and took turns talking to everyone. And then they left. I took a turn at the telescope. You could see pretty clearly what was going on over there. Better than I'd expected. With the naked eye, we were too far away to read anyone's expression or really see what was going on. But in the telescope, you could almost read their lips. It didn't look like the rangers were able to do much of anything. I saw Sydney look across the lake, toward us. Stepping back from the telescope, I got my phone and sent her a text. Hey, saw the rangers. Any luck? A few moments later, there was a response. No, I think they just ditched us. They said since the car is gone, they think they probably just went somewhere to be alone. Do you believe that? Maybe they're right. Who knows? Thanks for your help, and sorry for bothering you. I typed out a reply. No problem. Let me know if there's anything else we can do. It had been another hot day. After we finished texting with Sid, I couldn't get them off my mind, the missing friends across the lake. Sure, maybe they were just ditching their friends to hook up for the weekend. But I don't know. It didn't sit right. Why wouldn't they just answer when their friends called? Why wouldn't they check in just to let them know that they were okay? We went for a swim later in the day, and the water felt nice. But when I got out, I smelled like the lake. As much as the outdoors were growing on me, I was still a shower every day kind of girl. So Alex took a walk with me back to the public showers. When we got there, We stripped down to our bathing suits, and he followed me into one of the stalls. The showers were arranged in a rectangular shape. Wooden stalls, 8 of them in total, 4 on one side and 4 on the other. There was open sky overhead, and nothing but a nozzle and a shower head inside, with a concrete pad and drain underneath. We giggled, and I was suddenly aroused. Not just at Alex, but at this semi-public place. Sure, no one could see us, but if someone walked up, they would have a pretty good idea what we were doing. I think I was learning something about myself. We kissed, and we held each other as the water ran down our bodies. Just as he was about to unhook my top, we heard something. He heard it too, because he pulled his hands back, and we listened. They were footsteps. Maybe we'd cut it a little too close. Maybe this was a little too public. We tried to suppress nervous giggles. Alex tried to scooch as far to the inside as he could, so two sets of legs weren't visible under the wooden door. The footsteps continued. They made a full circle around the shower stalls and then back to where they began. Had someone figured us out? Was it a park ranger? A moment later, we heard that set of footprints scurry off in the opposite direction from where they came. We heard talking and laughing, and several new sets of footsteps were approaching. The first person had taken off. The new group took up 4 stalls. They chose the ones on the other end, furthest from Alex and I. We weren't going to be having any sexy fun in the shower after all. We cleaned up, and we did our best to stay quiet. We stepped out while the others were still in their own stalls, and we dried off and went for our clothes. That's when we realized that someone had gone through our things. They weren't in the tidy little pile we'd left them in. They were spread out on the grass, and a couple of pockets were turned out. Alex and I gave each other a look. That first set of footsteps, that had to be who'd done it. The other group must have scared him away when they approached. Thankfully, we hadn't brought anything worth taking. But then, I remembered our campsite. Our phones were there, our food, all of it unattended. We got dressed. The light was getting low. We walked as fast as we could, back to the lake, back to camp.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of 13. If you like what you heard, stop what you're doing and leave a 5-star rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. Especially if you're listening on Spotify, ratings and reviews over there would really help us out. This has been part 1 of 3 Days at the Lake. Part 2 is already available for our patrons, so if you can't wait to hear more, click the link in the show notes. Written by Ian Epperson and Brooke Jeanette. Narrated by me, Brooke Jeanette. Alex was Mason Amadeus. Sydney was Kayla Temshev. Music composed by Caleb Ritchie. Editing and sound design by Brooke Jeanette. Additional assistance from Bridget Freeman. Our producer-level patrons are Tattooed Fox, Sean Geary, Anthony Diaz, Michael Vasquez, Amy Harper, Jackie Kay, Delta Tango, Chantel Payne, Nick, Stephanie Klinger, Jake R., Abigail Perez, and Emily Toll. Thank you guys so much for your support. Check us out on social media. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram under Pod13. And you can join the Facebook group for 13 Podcast. Just look for the logo, and you'll find links to all that in the show notes. If you'd like to submit a story to be performed on the show, or if you'd like to contact us about anything else, you can get in touch at info@13podcast.com. You'll find submission guidelines and other info on our website, 13podcasts.com. You can find that in the show notes, too. Bridget Freeman is just outside your tent. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.